In just a minute, I'm going to read Philippians 4, 10, 11, 12, and 13. And I think these are four of the most phenomenal verses in the Bible. But I want to take just a quick minute, and I promise you, a quick minute to review. I don't mean minute literally, but I mean I'm going to move on this. The reason I came from Minneapolis to be with you this week is I hate Minneapolis. That's part A. Part B is I think I was supposed to talk with you about some things. What I was supposed to talk with you about was to guide many of you in a fresh way, some of you in a new way, to taste and see that the Lord is good. That's an invitation to experience the different facets of God. Now, if we talked about every facet of God, He is so huge, I'd be here until He returns, if that's a long time. But we focused on a few facets of God, tasting Him as a confronter when He shines the light on our wretchedness. I don't like that part about God, at least at first, but then it begins to hurt so good. Experiencing God as a confronter. That evening, we talked about experiencing God as a forgiver. I ask you a question. Will you let Him forgive you? You don't have to, you know. You can drag your skeletons around in the closet all of your life if you want to. You can beat yourself up for the rest of your life if you want to. You can try to pay for your own sin if you want to. I just think it's a real dumb suggestion. I'd go with the one that said it's finished. I think it grieves God when we try to pay for our own sin debt. I don't think He likes it when we say to Him, I know you said it's finished, but I need to add a little something. He doesn't like that. It is finished. Praise be to God. We talked about experiencing God as a father. Boy, that was sweet that night. Not because I gave it. Man, I was drinking that in. That was delicious. If you weren't here, you ought to get that tape. Did I make any money off those tapes? Not a nickel, huh? Probably goes into that another voice ministry, doesn't it? I bet. Whatever that thing is. We talked about experiencing God as the Father, and one of the profound questions, and make no mistake, it is profound, not because I ask it, but because it stands alone. I ask you this simple question. Will you let Him love you? You don't have to, you know. You can just be a little busy Baptist all of your life if you want to. Bad idea. Take time to let Him love you. He likes to do that. You know how I know? You like to love your kids, don't you? Especially when they're little. And they're running around, huffing and puffing, trying to impress you. And there's so many times you just want to say, would you please just crawl up here, quit wrestling and just start nestling and let me love and kiss you? Don't you? Well, if you being evil, Luke says, how much more the Father in heaven loves to give good gifts, which includes hugs and kisses. Last night I began the two-parter of experiencing the grace of God. Part one, I said three things. It took me an extremely long time to say them, but I said three things. Number one, I wanted to define the grace of God. Number two, I wanted to illustrate the grace of God. Number three, I wanted to talk about how indispensable the grace of God is. And tonight, I want to create an environment as I spend a little time teaching about receiving the grace of God. Because there are some things you need to know about receiving grace. Grace defined is basically this. Grace is more than demerited favor, unmerited favor. It is that. God's riches at Christ's expense. We get incredible stuff because of Jesus. That's called grace. But it's more than that. The kind of grace I'm talking about is not just salvation grace. I'm talking about sanctifying grace, the kind of grace that changes you. And grace defined that I gave you last night was this. It is the empowering, use your imagination, empowering. You don't have to use that much imagination. It is the empowering presence of God that enables you to be what God's called you to be and do what God's called you to do. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul defined it. It's by the grace of God that I am what I am. And it's by the grace of God that I labored much more than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Grace enables you to be what God wants you to be, do what God wants you to do. Grace illustrated. I talked about Stephen last night. Look at Philippians 4, 10 through 13. This is Paul. I want to illustrate it one more time. But I, 4:10 of Philippians says, rejoiced in the Lord greatly. And now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Stop right there. Is that a phenomenal statement or what? You know anybody like that? You know anybody like that? For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Well, what do you mean, Paul? Verse 12, I know how to get along with humble means. Do you know how to do that? And I also know how to live in prosperity. Do you know how to do that? A lot of people don't do that real well. Ooh. Well, I tell you, when I meet someone who knows how to live in prosperity without being an idolater, I want to take my shoes off. That's a big deal. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret. Boy, I like that phrase. He's got my attention. What secret? We're playing, I got a secret of being filled and going hungry, of having abundance and suffering need. What's the secret, Paul? Verse 13, I can do, present tense, continuous action. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Present tense, continuing actions. My suspender's coming apart. Technical timeout. I ain't kidding. I have never learned how to adjust suspenders at the right height. Boy, I'm either singing soprano or I'm bass. I'm telling you, I don't know. Think about it. Paul, how in the world could you do this content thing regardless of life's circumstances? Paul says, let me give you the secret. The secret is I've learned to draw on the strength, present tense, continuing action, that God did provide. No, that God is providing moment by moment. He experienced God as a grace giver moment by moment. And folks, that's the way we need to learn how to live the life. Some of you, and I say this in love, I don't know this for sure, I'm going by percentages. Many of you, the thing that fuels your Christian life is gratitude. Jesus died on the cross for me. I need to live for Him. Gratitude is really appropriate. It just hadn't got enough stuff to pull it off. You need something bigger than gratitude. What is it? It's a little word called grace, the empowering presence of grace. I tried to talk to you last night about how indispensable grace is, and I just went nuts giving you scriptures. 3 minutes, whirlwind tour. Listen fast. John 1:14, Jesus was full of grace and truth. If we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to be full of grace. Acts 4:33, abundance grace was upon them all. Who? The New Testament church, the first century church. That's why they could be what they were and do what they did. Acts 20, Paul says, I'm leaving you, and I tell you how I'm going to leave you. I'm going to commit you, commend you to God and the word of his grace. There's that word again. Romans 1, 7, grace to you, 13 letters. 13 letters of Paul. Grace to you, he started it. Grace with you, he ended it. Do you think he had this thing about grace? Romans 5, 17, the people who reign in life receive two things, an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Romans 5, 21, Romans 6, 14, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You will not be mastered by sin. Why? Because you're under, not under the law, but you're under grace. The only thing that abounds over sin is grace. I'm going to tell you something. If you've got a besetting sin that just eats your lunch and has all of your life, the way that thing is going to ultimately be conquered is by grace through faith. It's the bottom line. It's the agenda of heaven, Ephesians 2:7. In the eons to come, he's going to show us the kindness and the goodness of the grace of God. It's the worship folder of heaven. By grace you were saved, Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 3:7 and 8, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. Boy, I tell you, none of us are worthy to minister. And I'm not just talking about the vocational one. None of us are worthy. Some of you are waiting to clean your act up enough to minister. Vain wait. Second Thessalonians 2:16, good hope by grace. Are you a very hopeful person? Well, if you're very hopeful about becoming like Jesus, what's your hope in? Your commitment? Well, good luck. Have a happy day. 2 Timothy 2:1, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. You're going to be strong in something. Be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4:15 and 16, it's a throne of grace. We can come boldly to. Why? Because it's grace and not behavior, not performance. To find help in time of need. Here's the church verse that I go to. This is the theme verse of that church, Church of the Open Door. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Grace strengthens your heart. 1 Peter 1:13, fix your hope completely on the grace of God. Completely. 1 Peter 5:12, this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. Grow in the knowledge and in the grace of God. I didn't look that verse up, but I think that's 2 Peter 3:18. We need to grow in knowledge. You betcha. Are you growing in grace? You need them both. Well, here's the kicker, folks. This is where we are tonight. Dave, thanks for the Bible lesson. That was all right. I just got one question. How? How do I receive this moment by moment grace? How do I do that? I've always been a how man. That's part of God's circuitry with me. Well, let me just give you some things to consider on how to receive the grace of God. The powerful presence of God. To face anything. Anything! Some of it's a little repetitive, but I want to say it again. Number one, just see how indispensable it is if you're going to live the Christ life. Desperation produces motivation. You know what? If I came up to you and I threw a life preserver at you in that pew, you'd probably just let it bounce off your lower lip and go, what'd you do that for? If I took you out in the ocean, let you bob and weave for about 3 days, and threw you a life preserver, you'd swallow it. Same life preserver. You know the difference? You saw your need. You saw your need. Folks, grace is not some cute little optional topic. It's our blood in our bones. It's the gospel of the grace of God. See how indispensable it is. Number two, repent from trying to make stuff happen on your own. Do you know the only time the Bible uses the Baptist word, try? How you doing? Well, I'm trying. God knows I'm trying. I'm not trying to make fun of us. I'm trying to make fun of us. You know, the only time the Bible uses the word try, it's never like we use it. Try is in terms of test me. Try me, God. Where do we get this thing that successful Christian living equal trying hard? And yet most of the churches I grew up in, and most of the churches I've heard sermons in, encourage the people to leave the doors trying harder. And if your walk with God's not working, it's just because you're not trying hard enough. Well, I tell you, if the key was trying, wouldn't we be in our glorified bodies by now? Man, I could just fly back to my hotel room. I wouldn't need a car. I love what Eon Thomas said. I read this as a new Christian. It stayed with me. He said, Christian living is the outliving of the in-living God. That's good. Christian life, I said this last night, it's not hard, it's impossible. You need the second by second flow of grace to pull it off. Third thing, and hey, this is especially for you passive types. I'm not talking about the Marthas, I'm talking about the Marys. Did you hear what I just said? I said Mary. I need to get out of here. I need to get on a plane and get out of here. The word is Mary. Instead of Mary. It's getting bad, Billy, I'm telling you. This third point's real important. And I was very imbalanced. I'm not talking about mentally. That's true, too. But I was very imbalanced theologically about what I'm getting ready to say. You know, I've been one of these Mary types that just sit at the feet of Jesus. And I used to think, well, okay, if I can't make the Christian life happening through trying, then I just need to walk and let grace fall out of the sky on my head. Okay. And I'd just get passive and passive. When anybody would talk about the spiritual disciplines, I'd kind of lift up my eyebrows and say, sounds like works to me. Are you performance-based? I'm grace-based. Our whole church went through that. We got incredibly passive. You know what? God's grace began to dry up. The living kind. The third thing I've learned about receiving grace is not only see how much you need it, repent from trying hard to get it. By that I don't mean there's no effort involved. The third thing I'm going to say to you about receiving grace is this. Place yourself in a position to receive grace. And that's where a little thing, two words come into play. Spiritual disciplines. For the right reason. Do you know what? If I want to catch a fish, I could wait till it rains in Minneapolis and I could throw a line right out in my driveway. I could just move that plug along. I don't think I'm going to catch a fish in my driveway. Do you? Some of you got to look like, sounds like a good idea to me. You are not tracking with me. If you want to catch a fish, go where the fish are. And the last time I looked, they're hanging around the lake. Now, you can fish in your driveway if you want to. I don't think you're going to catch much. You need to go where the fish are. Folks, if we're going to receive grace, we need to go where the grace is. And that's where the spiritual disciplines come in. Stuff like worship, stuff like hearing the Word, stuff like studying the Word, stuff like solitude. We can't even say that word without stuttering. Does that mean being quiet? Man, I tell you what, I did a week of solitude last year. It about drove me spastic. I tell you, after 15 minutes of being alone in a cabin, I'd said everything to God I ever thought about saying 9 times. And I settled down into the big stare. I found it took me 3 days to get quiet. Because I'm important. Excuse me? Solitude. Reflection. Being in a community where there's honesty and transparency and not spiritual bumper cars. Or more aptly, verbal volleyball. How you doing? Fine. Well, how you doing? Fine. Well, we're just all fine. We're all fine. Boy, that's the church activity, isn't it? Living in community. A lot of times that's where grace comes. Confession, repentance, prayer. Giving, obedience. If the spiritual disciplines are something that are new to you, you need to read some books about the disciplines. We need to recover some stuff we've lost. Make no mistake about it, we've lost some good stuff. Stuff like the spirit of the disciplines. Celebration of discipline. There's a lot of stuff about disciplines. And folks, it ain't the discipline. Because when you get involved in the discipline, you don't talk about the discipline. When the grace comes, you talk about grace. You don't strut around about your Bible study. Yeah, I'm Bible study fellowship. I love Bible study fellowship. I think it's wonderful. But that might just be a place, an avenue through which you get grace. And when you taste grace, you leave talking about grace, not the discipline. Third thing I want to say about receiving grace, it's not about passivity. It's about the right activity. Being involved in discipline. Now listen, if you're here and you don't have a clue on how to read and study the Bible so that it feeds you, don't beat yourself up. But if I come back in a year, don't be in the same place. Seek somebody out and say, man, I don't have a clue. I want to tell you what. I think Concordance is a book of the Bible. And what's this middle book, Job? What's that doing there? Is that supposed to help me at work? It's okay to not know anything about the Bible. It's not okay to stay there. The spiritual disciplines. But let me give you the big one, folks. Turn to 1 Peter 5. This is the one I want to give you. Because in my view, of all the things of receiving grace, this one is the key. An acquaintance of mine, I hope to be a friend of his, he called this next thing I'm talking about, the shadow of God. This next thing I'm talking about is so close to God, it's His shadow. Look at it, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Wait a minute, let me back up. Go with 5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. There's the word. That's where we're going. Toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. Verse 7, casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Now look at me for just a minute. Humility is the primary prerequisite to receiving grace. It really is. All that other stuff's good that I said, but this is where I want to camp. Let me ask you a question. Are you a humble person? What goes on in you when you say, God, humble me. Whatever it takes, humble me. That's almost like asking a dentist to take a drill and go right through that back molar, isn't it? Isn't there something about that prayer that you just go, whoa. Whoa. See, we don't look at humility many times as a friend. We just kind of keep it at distance. Like, yeah, it might be good for me, but I don't want to get too close to that one. That one feels really, really painful. Well, the word basically means low-lying, as in the Nile River is not full. Keeping a low profile comes from the word humus, close to the earth. Not needing to show myself above others. But let me share something with you. I've had a bad view of humility most of my life. I've wanted it kinda, but I've had this drill through the back molar mentality. You know what I discovered in my study this summer? It's really, really sweet. Humility looks different than I thought. I want to go back to 1 Peter 5 because I want to show you something. Humble yourselves, verse 6. Therefore, but my question is, how do I humble myself? How do I humble myself? Look at verse 7. This is how you humble yourself. Casting all of your anxiety on Him. Because He cares for you. Do you know the people who are humble are the people who've learned all the way down to their toes that Jesus so cares for them that they're too little to carry the burdens of life and they cast their burdens on Him because He cares so much for them. They are so little. They are so weak. He is so strong. Let me put it in a different way. The more you are secure in the love of God, the easier it will be to humble yourself. God's love and acceptance, security, humility, grace. Do you know when we pray for humility, do you know what we're really praying for? Lord, more than anything else, help me to learn to be secure and how much You love me. So that I can take all of my junk and all of my needs and cast them on You because I'm convinced to my bone You care for me. Do you know the opposite of that? Let me tell you the opposite. And you'll know this is true because of sometimes in your own life and people you know. Rejection. Pride. Or rejection. Insecurity. Pride. Grief. That's the other cycle. The people that don't know they're loved and accepted, they feel real insecure. And consequently, they walk in pride. You ever met anybody that's so insecure? Boy, they're just so prideful. You know where that pride's coming from? They're just insecure. They don't know that they're loved. They've had a lot of rejection in their life. And that pride brings grief. Do you know when we say, God, humble me, what we're really saying is, God, for that to happen, make me so secure in Your love and acceptance that I can cast my care on You. Because that's what humility looks like. I'm little and weak. You're huge. You remember when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples? This is illustrated in God in a pair of sandals. He knew where He was going, secure. He knew what the Father felt about Him. He disrobed and He started washing some feet. Do you know that act was so humbling that Jewish people couldn't even ask their slaves to do it. It was that low line. And Jesus did something slaves back then wouldn't even do. Well, how could He do that? God! He was so secure. Knew He was. And He knew in a few moments after John 13, He'd be going to see His Father.
He knew who he was. He knew where he was going. He was so secure in that. He could humble himself and have the grace to wash dirty feet. Does that take a little bit of the sting out of asking for humility? It's not drilling through the back molar. It's knowing how deep in your bones God loves you, and you can cast your care on Him. And you can even humble yourself and be so secure in who you are, you can wash other people's dirty feet. God stiff arms the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Two other things I want to say in about a minute and a half. The other two things I want to say to you about receiving grace. This is one of the most profound things I'll say tonight, but it's most simple. Ask for it. Well, duh! Ask for it. Ask for it. We start going through all kinds of junk and we need grace. Do you realize God's the last one we ask for? Well, when I got all kinds of needs, I'll come tell you about my needs. Oh, I tell you, life is tough. Well, it is. Ask for grace. Here's the last thing I want to say to you tonight about receiving grace. Wait for it. Wait for it. Faith waits until grace shows up. It might be waiting in the midst of the disciplines. I've learned to wait in the fishing boat. Billy and I fish a little bit together. I wait more than he does. That guy's a good fisherman. I'm just kind of... But if I've learned anything about fishing, sometimes you have to wait. You don't catch a fish every cast. At least that's not been my personal experience. You got to wait sometimes. You got to keep casting that bait out. Well, I'm getting motivated now, but every now and then, got one! Sometimes we have to learn to wait for grace. That dispensing of God's power. And sometimes, just like Stephen, we're scared to death. And the stones start flying. And on the inside, we're doing this. And God in His mercy will do this. And when He does, we, along with our older brother Stephen, have the supernatural capacity to say, lay not this sin to their charge. Here's the question I want to ask you tonight. Fold up your Bibles. Look at me. Just look at me. Here's the last question. This is the culmination of the week. You've been wonderful students these last two nights. Thank you very much. And I mean that. Here's the question, though. Where do you need grace? I mean now. Where do you need grace? Boy, there's a sin. I just can't shake it. I know how those are. I need fresh grace right there. There's bitterness in my life. It feels like Mount Kilimanjaro. It is huge. I believe you. But I do know one thing that's bigger. Grace. See that none of you fall short of the grace of God and a root of bitterness spring up in us. I'm finding as I'm getting older, I'm getting more cynical. And it scares me. And the only things that can keep me from being this old cynical guy who's heard it all is grace. I'm out of love with my husband. You need grace. You can fall out of love with your spouse. That happens. But you can fall back in love with grace. I don't know how to do well with little. I'm sitting in this pew tonight, David, and I've got little. and I'm not content with it, I'm mad about it. I've been there. Grace can bring contentment. You need grace there? I'm angry. Been there. You need more grace. I'm depressed. A lot of reasons for depression. I wrestle with depression about once a year. It's scary. It's ugly. I'd rather wrestle with the physical than the emotional. Those of you that get depressed, I'd never really wrestled with depression until about 5 years ago. And now when it shows up on my doorstep, you know what I used to say to people who were depressed? God have mercy on me!
Why'd you stop being depressed? You ain't got nothing to be depressed about.
Don't you love people to tell you to stop feeling something you're already feeling? I always want to say to them, too late! Too late! Already feel that way! Where do you need grace? Maybe you got a physical thing and you need grace to endure it. You know, I believe God heals. I believe He's Jehovah Rapha, and I ain't healed. But just because right now He's given me grace to endure, that doesn't mean He won't give you grace to heal. He might. I believe in healing. I've never said no to somebody who wanted to pray for my healing. Now, I'm the one that gets all the weirdos, too. Did I tell you earlier in the week about the guy who came to me and said, I think you'll be better if you take a coffee enema? I wanted to say you first. And I don't even want to watch. And then I kept spinning out with that one, calf or decaf. I mean, it just went on. You heard about the guy that came over from another country and he was struggling with his English, and he got up and he kept talking about the enemy. And people kept laughing and laughing and laughing, and he thought they were making light, but every time he said it, he'd use the word enema. The enema! Boy, I just got off track. Let's come on back. Do you need grace somewhere tonight? You just doing fine? I'm not saying that to get you to respond if you don't need to respond. But what I'm asking you to do for this is Billy comes and as our staff pastors and some of our gals line up across the front as we close down this piece. You need to get grace somewhere. You need some fresh grace. Boy, David, I'm really old and I'm real tired and I'm feeling real, real lonely and I've lost hope. I say this humbly, dear one. You know what you need? You need the church to hug you and love you, but you need grace too. I've lost my first love. My life is dissolved into cliches. You know what you need? You need grace. You need grace. But grace only comes to people who humble themselves. You know, I'm not even sure it's biblical to ask God for humility. Most of the study I've seen in Scripture says, humble yourself. I wonder sometimes, God, humble me. No, you humble yourself. That's something you can do. There's tons of stuff you can't do, but that's something you can do. There might be some of you, it's been a while since you have humbled yourself. Consequently, it's been a while since you've gotten a fresh dose of grace. You need grace anywhere? last August, this October, I'm talking about August, I went through 6 weeks of fear. I've never been so afraid in my whole life. Terrorized. Lost my confidence to speak. That's the truth. I thought, man, I don't have anything to say to anybody. It seemed like I had the month of August off because I was writing a book. And I went down to Alamo City Church in San Antonio. That was the next meeting after all this fear thing. I called up David Walker. I said, David, I'm a real mess. I'm not a godly man. I'm a godly mess. And I'm dreading coming to your church because I have lost my confidence because I'm paralyzed with fear. You know what that man of God said to me? Do you know what that man of God said to me? He said, well, just come on down anyway and let us love on you. If you just preach once, it's okay. And if it's bad, it's okay. We'll just love on you. I wept like a baby. And when I was down there, God began the process of beginning to heal my fear. But before I went, I had to go to our church staff. And I said, I'm scared to death. I've lost my confidence. This feels big. I don't even understand it. But I need for you to pray for me. And I wept like a baby. I said, would you gather around me? Would you pray for me? I am so afraid. God began to give me grace. Folks, I'm not giving you a lecture. I'm talking with you out of my life. You need to humble yourself tonight. There are going to be folks strung across here, and all you need to come to them and say, look, this is where I think I need grace. I'm feeling my singleness tonight. I'm so lonely. I want to be married. And I'm angry. Sick and tired. Going to an empty apartment. A stale refrigerator. My best friend got married last year. I'm so lonely I can't breathe. I need grace. Billy's going to sing a song. I asked him to any way that he wrote. It's a song you know. Lord, I come to you just as I am. I can't ease the pain. I can't generate grace on my own. But I know you can. Staff, I want to ask you to come up and just stand up. And as Billy sings, if you need to come, your coming is saying, I'm humbling myself. This is why I need grace. As he sings, will you humble yourself if you need to? How about it, Grandpa? How about it, Grandma? I respect and love older people. If you got to know me, you'd know that I love you. But I tell you, getting old can also mean getting old, getting brittle, getting harsh, getting mean. Or like some of you I've met this week, it can mean getting sweet if you're drawing on God's grace. What do you need? Billy, sing. We're listening to the Spirit. You need grace? Invite you to come right now.
Lord, I come to you just as I am. Oh,
believe it. I can't deal with it anymore. I know it. I believe you.
But I know you can.
It's only one thing bigger than sin. It's fresh grace. To your heart tonight. Listen to your heart. David, I'm so strangled by materialism. Like an octopus, I can't get it off. You're right. People, look at me for a minute. I've given 25 years of my life to people like you. In my opinion, the biggest place people like you need grace is the grace to stand alone, to be different. When other people's knees are buckling around you, you stand. You'll never do it without daily grace from God, because it's too big. Peer pressure is too big. Looking and being different is too big. It takes God to do it. You are too little. But a dream I've had for a lifetime is that God would raise up a generation of young men and women that will say, no more, no more, no more, no more. If it's only me, I'll stand alone in the power of Jesus Christ. If I go to the fiery furnace alone, if I'm a Joseph in the dungeon, I will stand alone. I pray grace for you, because that's the only thing big enough to keep your knees buckling from buckling. handle the insults. I pray grace for you. Walk humbly so that God can give it to you. Walk humbly so God can give it to you. Billy's going to keep singing. Listen to your heart. No manipulation, no pressure. If you need someone to pray over you for grace, this altar's open.
Lord, I come to you just as I am.
Faithfulness, faithfulness.